So today, last week, I really enjoyed the message. Pastor Paul is a great, I think, friend of our church, great, really just father in the church, and his message was really, really solid, really helpful, really strong, you know, as to what God is saying, I believe, in the church these days. And one of the things that really struck me, that I really liked that he said, is not only your mouth, but your heart should be speaking faith into the ears of God. That we should not only just say things, because I think a lot of times we just, the thing about just chanting out verses and stuff like that after a while, if it doesn't ever go from here into our heart and really settle there, it really doesn't have power. Just stirring up my heart this week and just trusting God that He'll give us the faith we need to do what God's called us to do, and just to develop that. And we develop faith by reading God's Word, by spending time with Him, by letting Him speak to us. And God's Word is powerful, the Bible says, and sharper than a two-edged sword. Divides between what's spiritual, what's God's truth, and the truth that we see, right? Because sometimes the truth we see is not really truth. God's Word is true, the Bible says. So we need to trust Him and walk with Him. So I thought that was a great word last Sunday. I believe, and I guess it's pretty obvious if you're a Christian, faith is a really important part of our walk with God, right? We have to have faith. If we don't have faith, and we say, God, come into my heart, change my life, nothing happens. If we don't actually have faith that God can or that God will, it really just is an exercise in futility. It takes faith to believe in God. I always say, sometimes people try and be really clever about God and how God moves and God works, and really, like, what I think is that the gospel doesn't make sense. As far as we can understand, it doesn't. For God, the creator of the universe, to give His Son for us, to me, that doesn't make sense. There's nothing about it that makes sense. To believe, to have faith that God, that Jesus was born to a virgin, that takes faith. It doesn't make sense, right? If somebody had a young girl here and she showed up at church on Sunday and she said, I'm going to have a baby, and you said, well, that's not good. You shouldn't be doing that before you get married. And they said, well, I didn't do that. I'm just pregnant. It doesn't make sense. You'd be like, yeah, right. So a lot of things about the gospel don't make sense, but we accept by faith because God's word is true, that God's word is very true. And we've experienced the love of God when we open our heart to Him, when we say yes to Him, when we make a step of faith, and we say, God, come into my life, change my life, and we experience His changing presence. We need that. And if we're going to live as Christians, we have to develop faith. So today I want to talk about faith, and we probably will spend a couple of weeks on it, and then we'll move on to some Christmas stuff. The faith is the one area where we need to keep building and learning and developing, because this is what the Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says, it's impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that He exists and that He cares enough to respond to those who seek Him. He exists and He cares enough to respond. That God responds. When we speak in faith, God responds. So we need to understand that if we're not living in faith, we can't please God. So a lot of times we want to know the answers to everything. How many? I know when young people, when I talk to them, I wish I knew. I wish God would just show me exactly who I'm supposed to marry, what I'm supposed to do, where I'm supposed to live. Be a good deal, right? A lot of us who have lived life for a long time still love to know these things perfectly, right? That we do the right, that we're living in the right spot, that we're doing the right thing. We'd like to know, but if we know all that, if we already know it, it takes no faith to live it. So we can't be pleasing to God when we know everything, that we have to trust God to take us each step along the way. Faith is one of the foundational truths of the Bible. I would say the foundational truth of the Bible in our lives, so we need to understand it. It's really the only way we can please God. The truth is, we can live in two worlds, either a world of faith or a world of fear. Faith and fear basically operate on the same principles, that you believe, if you have faith in God, you believe that what God's Word says is true. You believe that it's true and you act on it. You make a response to that truth. Or you believe that what the enemy says is true, or what your flesh tells you is true, and you live and respond and act on that. Does that make sense? So if you have faith in God, circumstances might not always look good, might not look the way you think they're supposed to look, might not be exactly the way you hope they would, but by faith you know what God's Word says, and what it looks like has to change. Realistically, truthfully. I mean, I told my story last year when, like, 25 years of headaches, gone. It's been a year and a half almost now, and healed, perfectly healed. You know, I got in that accident last November, a lot of back problems about 2 months ago. I just said, I've had it with this. God's Word says I could be free. I'm going to be free. I'm going to walk free. And just a battle, challenge, working it out, trusting God's Word's true, and now, pretty much, not experiencing pain anymore. God is faithful to His Word. A biblical example of this is found in Romans chapter 4, verse 17 to 22. It says, this is speaking about Abraham. It says, "As it has been written, I have made you, Abraham, a father of many nations before God, whom he believed, who makes the dead live, and who calls the things which do not exist as though they do exist." So Abraham, God told him that he would be the father of many nations. Abraham's 100 years old. So this is, it goes on. "For he who beyond hope," he was beyond hope, 100 years old, not likely going to have children, right? "Believed on hope for him to become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. And Abraham, not being weak in faith, did not consider his own body already dead at about 100 years old, or the deadening of Sarah's womb." So if Sarah was 90 and her womb was starting to deaden. So ladies that are in their 70s and 80s, there's still hope for you. Yay. "But he did not stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that God, what God had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness." So Abraham, God promised him he'd be the father of many nations. He's 100 years old. His body doesn't work that way anymore. His wife is 90. Her body ain't working right either. The truth, as far as the flesh goes, was that the situation was impossible. Impossible. Was not possible. But the Bible says clearly here that Abraham did not look at what the flesh said. He had a promise from God. He laid hold of the promise from God. He didn't stagger and say, "Well, it's too hard, God. I don't know if this could be done." Even though, and this is the difference we have a track record. We've seen God do miracles. Anybody here ever seen God do miracles? I have. I've seen God do amazing things. And we know that God, but Abraham was called from God, by God, out of really a heathen nation. What Abraham knew is the conversations he had with God. We can have those same conversations with God now. We have the Holy Spirit. We could talk to Him. But Abraham, the Bible said, did not stagger at the promises of God, but he trusted fully that what God said, he would bring to pass. It's easy, easy to believe God when everything's going good. Everybody agree? It's easy when the family's all healthy, when you got a solid job, when the cars are running good, when the house is in good shape, when everything seems to be rolling along, it's easy to have faith in God. The challenge comes, though, when things start to have the wheels come off. And if we've lived in this world long enough, do we realize that sometimes the wheels come off? Sometimes we come under attack or we have challenges to our faith. We actually live in a world where the devil is still rampant. The Bible says, roaming around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We still have a place where our flesh battles against our spirit, Galatians 5, 16, and 17. The flesh wars against the spirit against the flesh. These two things will never agree. So we have all this controversy going on, all these battles going on, and when things go bad, we have to understand that God hasn't changed. God's will for you is still to live a free life, to live free in His presence, to know that He's got it, that He's taking care of you, that He's not going to leave you, that He's not going to forsake you, that He's going to walk with you and give you the power to live the life that He's called you to live. So, we've had situations in our life. I'm just trying to see. Okay, so Logan isn't in the room. I told him I wouldn't tell the story with him around again because he got sick of it, and probably you did too. But when he got sick a couple years ago and they found that mass growing in his abdomen, that's scary for a parent, I'll tell you. Like, I was scared. I got in my car, and I went for a drive, and I was talking to God, and really God spoke to me very clearly. I haven't changed. I'm His healer, just like I have always been. When you gave Him to me, when you were walking that hospital floor back in 1998, I'm the same God today that took your child. He's mine. I care deeply for him. Stand in faith. Well, 4 months later, he's healthy. He's strong. He's doing good. This is 2 years later now. God is able to keep that which we've committed to Him, right? But we have to commit it to Him. We have to speak His words. We have to trust Him. Like, I know there's people here that are struggling with sickness, struggling with pain, struggling with things. I know there's people here that are believing God for, you know, ministry opportunities or for a job or for, you know, different things. Maybe for a child that isn't serving God. But we have to see what God's Word says and trust it and believe it and speak it. There is a responsibility on our behalf. We have to play a part. God said in His Word that He's given us a right to choose. He said, choose you this day. If you want to read what the blessings are and the curses are as children of Abraham, you can read in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And He says that if you do this, then all these blessings will come your way. If you do that, all this stuff is going to happen. And God's Word is true. There's a part we play. And we could go into this, and there could be people that get offended because, like, honestly, my dad, you know, was a man of God, man of faith, trusted God for healing, had a gift of healing, prayed for many people to be healed, but he died of a stroke. Is God's Word any different because of that? Was it His fault? I don't know. I don't know the answer, but I know this. God's Word is true. And I either believe that or I don't believe that. And God's Word says His name, His personality, that's how they used names back in those days, is to describe aspects of a person's personality. But His name is Jireh, which is healer. He is Jehovah healer. That's who He is. He's Jehovah, oh, that was Rapha, sorry, got it mixed up. Rapha's healer. Jireh, He's provider. If you're in need, He's provider. We have to believe that. We have to stand on it. We have to say, you know, like I know Frank's going through some struggles today with his back and stuff. And I know there's other people. When I talk to Frank, Frank doesn't say like, oh man, it's just horrible. Like when I ask him, he says, fight the good fight, sort of like, you know, because we want to speak the truth of God's Word. Doesn't mean you can't call someone and say, pray for me, I need help. But when you're always spouting off everything that's going wrong in life, if you're always looking at the things that, and saying the things that are really what you feel, and what you see at the time instead of what God's Word says, you're creating things. The Bible said, by the words of your mouth, you're either condemned or justified. And I know that's a hard pill to swallow because I'm serious. Like, I have to swallow that pill sometimes. I have to say that there's a responsibility on my part to see God work in my life. God does not move in our life unless we work with Him and allow Him. We have to allow Him. So, there's times in all of our lives where it's just easy going. And there's times in our life when God's calling us to something that makes us feel uncomfortable, that stretches us, that pulls us, that maybe there's things that, and dreams that God put in your heart that are bigger than you, that are more powerful and seem bigger than you could ever accomplish. But God still called you to them. God, if He called you to them, will also give you the power and the ability to walk them through. Our very first act as a believer is an act of faith. Romans 10, verse 9, 10 says, whenever, if we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, we confess with our mouth that He is Lord, we will be saved. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, man believes to righteousness. I mixed it all up, but you know, that's the information in the verses. If you ask my kids, I never sing the right words to a song. At least I got that all right, just in the wrong order. But like there's that act of faith to receive Jesus. And it takes an act of faith to pass from this world to the next. The last act in our life is an act of faith to entrust our spirits to God as we leave this planet. And all the time in between, we have many, many opportunities every day to walk by faith. There's no other way to walk. There are a lot of places we operate in faith in our life. I was thinking of this, you know, like Levi's 16, Logan's 14 years old. When we had the boys, we committed to raise them to God, for Jesus, to live for Him all the days of their life. We carried them. I did. Christine was laying in the hospital bed after she delivered each one of them. And I was walking down the hall in Welland Hospital, holding my kids, singing, and just committing them to God, giving them to Him, saying, these aren't mine, I'm a steward, right? They belong to You. And just giving, and then promising God that we would do the best that we could do with the stewardship. Now, I've done young people's for a long, long time. I've seen how things can go wrong. And you know what? We did our best. We studied. We read books. We listened to people who had raised kids. We learned from our own experience of being raised. And we struggled and tried, did our best to raise kids. Now, Levi's a couple years away from being a man. And we're trusting that what we did, what we imparted to our children, will grow in them. That's an act of faith. Right? Every day, does it look right? Every day, does it seem like they're walking down that path? There's been some times where I've spent many hours in prayer because it seemed to me that my kids were getting cold in their heart toward God. And we trust God and we keep speaking God's word into their life and they're on fire for Jesus. They're living for God. And I trust that He's going to continue with that. There's some people. You know, we all go to work every day, and we trust by faith that when we work for the week, that at the end of the week, there's going to be a paycheck there so that we can pay our bills and do our thing, right? It's an act of faith. You all are really loud, really feeding back hard here. I don't expect it. You guys know I don't. I just really have been understanding one thing. Remember we talked a couple weeks ago? A lot of time, our posture and how we listen, I know we're Canadian, I know that we don't always express, but I think it'd be good to express once in a while. I don't need it, do what you want, but for you. I think we have to exercise faith every time we get in our car. I mean, some more than others, right? But like every time we get in our car, and we're coming at 50 miles an hour, up behind someone who stopped at a stop sign, and we put our foot on the brake, we expect the car to stop. That's faith. Every time we sit in a chair, and these chairs here are beautiful, they won't break. But I remember I was in Colombia, and I'm not a small guy. I guess I don't have to tell you that. You don't have to be Sherlock to figure that out. But they had these little plastic, remember you could buy them for like $3.99, those kind of plastic white garden chairs. And I was sitting in them with my feet back, so my back legs were holding the back leg of the chair together, and my knees were holding the front because I was afraid the chair was going to do that. Like a deer trying to get up when it's born, you know? But, like, I had to live by faith to sit in those chairs. And every time we put our rear end down in a chair, we expect it's going to hold us. Right? Yeah. It's just practical things. I know it sounds funny, but every day we live by faith. And if we could believe in a chair, or if we could believe in a brake pedal, we should be able to believe in God. Right. Yeah. Think of the ultimate love. Like, I know we talk about this all the time, but like every time I think about something about God, I always refer back to His sacrifice on the cross. Because a God that loved us that much is not going to leave us now. Right. He's not going to leave us. And He has a plan, and He wants to help you to walk through life. So, I did a message this was from 2005, but I'm going to grab parts of it because I thought it was really powerful. And I reminded myself this week because I was just studying through on faith again, and it was called the acronym of faith. So acronym is when each letter means something. So faith, focus on the positive. Affirm yourself. Imagine God doing something good. I know these all off by heart, but now you guys scared me. Trust God in everything. and have hope in God, or hope for the best. So we're going to start going through this. And just while you're going through life sometimes, think about this when you're struggling and you need to operate in faith. So first of all, focus on the positive. It says in Philippians 4, verse 8, "For the rest, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of a good report, if of any virtue and of any praise, think on these things." We gotta, you know, like we can think about a lot of things, positive or negative. I love this story. It's a story about two children. They were going to do some testing on these kids. One was a really negative kid, and they put him in a room full of toys, and all the latest toys and all the greatest toys. And they went in there, and they played for a few minutes, and then they said, "There's nothing to do, nothing to do." So they took this other kid who was a really positive kid and stuck them in a room full of horse manure, pony manure, horse manure. So the kid's in there for an hour, and she's digging and she's digging and she's digging and she's digging, and everywhere she's digging, 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 won't stop digging. And they go, "What are you doing?" She said, "Well, with all this horse manure, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere." And you know what? And that's the truth. With all the manure you go through in life, there's a pony in there somewhere. There's something good. We can look at the glass as half empty, or we can look at the glass as half full. People that look at a glass as half full, it's not because they don't experience any emptiness in their life. At any given time of the day, there's some really bad things going on and some really good things. It's what you choose to focus on is what you really give strength to. Focus on the positive. Focus on what God has done, what God has promised, what God is willing to do. Take time. Think about what God's Word says. We could stick to the negative day and night. Like, and I mean, seriously, if you hang around with a positive person, even if you're down, you're going to be lifted up. I remember, like Jeff, when we were doing the renovations here, Jeff would come around, you know, every once in a while, and he would be walking through the halls, and he'd be singing, and he'd be smiling, and he'd be like, "Hey, Mr. Thompson," or "Hey, Mrs., you know, whoever," and he'd just be like, everybody, when he walked in the room, you couldn't help but smile, because he's just a little bit goofy, and he has a nice smile, and he's happy. He's positive, right? And it lifts a room. But when you come around some people that are just like, right? Like, it's like, get me away from this person. I feel like I'm not going to be able to move. It's like kryptonite. It's like, get away from me. Because positive, it's not like nothing bad ever happens to positive people. They have just as much negative in their life as you do. The Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. It falls. There's manure going on in everybody's life. It's what will you choose to focus on. I remember when we were in Mexico doing our mission trips. We've been there a couple times. And we went to places, seriously, that were just like horrible hovels. Like hovels. Like built against, built against sides of pig pens. And just like, it was bad as far as I was concerned. But when you went into a person's house, they'd be like taking pictures off their wall and trying to give them to you because they feel blessed. They tell you about their families. They smile. They laugh. They're not focused on the hovel. They're focused on the wealth in their families and in their relationships. There's some good things going on in your life. If you don't see that today, take your Bible out. Read your Bible. Start, you know, thinking about what God's Word says to you, right? You're a child of God. He's called us His children. Right? Not just slaves, but children. That we can come boldly into His presence. That we can come boldly into His throne room and make our request known in our time of need. Yeah. Right? He is doing that. He's done that. He's given us His Son to die for us so that we can be included. Right? He has a game plan. That even as we watch this world tick down and all the things that go on, we don't have to be afraid. Because we know the end game. We read the back of the book and we win. Yeah. Right? Like, it's not a... there's bad stuff going on. Yeah, the world's crazy right now. The Bible says that where darkness abounds, even light so much more abounds. Right? And the Bible says that God's presence is there. The anointing is there to remove the burden and destroy the yoke. And whenever the burden is big and the yoke is strong, God is there to destroy it and bring life. Like, we need to understand God is good. Focus on that. I used to love playing golf. Then we met Dave Ramsey. I don't love it as much. I can't afford it as much. One of the parts I just love is walking across the golf course, you know? So beautiful. Like, I love cut grass. I love the look of a well-kept lawn. I just love it. But I have a friend who hates golf courses. They use pesticides. They use herbicides. They waste water. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, go away. Leave me alone. Right? Like, it's like, but you can choose what you want to do. You can choose what you want to focus on. If we're going to live a life of faith, we need to look up and see the positive things of God that God is doing around us and has done in our life. A, affirm yourself. Here's what the Bible says. In 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, it said, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughters, but David strengthened himself in Jehovah his God." In the King James Version, it says, "And David encouraged himself in the Lord." So David, he picked every lowlife, every reject, everything to be his men. Like, his men, it says they were distraught, distressed, depressed, every D word going out there. He had it, you know, dyslexic, whatever. He had them all. And they were, like, tired and they were worn out. He groomed them and helped them to become these mighty men of God. Bible says and teaches that these guys went out and they killed. One guy wanted to prove he was a mighty man, so he jumped into a pit with a lion on a snowy day, and he killed the lion with his bare hands, right? Like, and just all these exploits they did. But so they had this stronghold or this city where they lived, and while they were gone out to war, this army had come in and taken everything, including their wife and kids. So they got back, and all these misfits now are looking at David and said, "Well, if we had been here, our wives and our kids would still be here. It's your fault." Well, it's cool to have misfits and people that have bad attitudes and are depressed and everything like that, you know, when everything's going good. But when things go sideways, oh man, right? Because these guys probably used to kill for a living and now they do still. But anyway, so he's feeling really down because these guys, he helped them become these great warriors, and now they hate him and they want to kill him. They want to stone him. Not Wayne Fleet stoned, but like Israel stoned. Rocks, right? That kind of stoned. And so, like, the Bible says, though, what he did was he encouraged himself in the Lord. God is great. God made you. God lives inside of you. You are great. You've got what it takes. The Bible says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That I'll never leave you, the Bible says. Jesus said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." He's with us. We can tell ourselves, "God, you're so good. I'm so happy that I could be with you. Lord, I thank you that you created in me greatness, that I can get this done, that I'm more than a conqueror, that I'll be everything that you want me to be and everything you created me for." We can say with confidence these things. We can tell ourselves. Sometimes when you're going through hard times, you need to talk to yourself. Don't let people catch you. They'll probably medicate you, but talk to yourself. Right? You need to talk to yourself. You need to tell yourself about God's word. Self, look up. Self, there's hope. Self, there's a way out of this. Self, God is with us. We cannot fail. God is with us. He will help us. He will strengthen us. He will encourage us. We need to. Number three, imagine God doing something good, the I in faith. This is what Paul said. In Philippians 3, verse 12 to 14, says, I'm not saying that I have this all together or that I've made it, but I'm well on my way. Reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all this, but I've got my eyes on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running. I'm not turning back. God is with you, right? When he tells us to live by faith, it's not a punishment. It's a power. It's a strength. It's something good. He's called you to live. No matter where your life is today or no matter why you are where you are today, God loves you. He has a plan. Imagine God doing something good. I have a sign in my office, and I really think it sums up a lot. And it really, you know, like, those things get challenged over time. But the sign says dream. Dream. So whenever I'm going through a struggle, whenever I'm going through hard times, whenever I'm kind of like wondering if I could actually do what God's called me to do, I just sit in my office chair, and I think about the things that I believe that God wants to do. Like, I have this recurring dream. Vision, I don't know what it is, but a lot of times when I'm praying or when I'm in worship, I see thousands of people with their hands raised in the air in an outside meeting. It's just like rain falling on their heads. I see it all the time. And whenever I start thinking small, I start thinking about that dream, because I don't think God just keeps showing me that dream because it's just supposed to be a nice dream. But I think He's got something in mind and something planned, and I just keep looking and waiting for that day when I see that thousands of people with their hands raised and worshiping God and seeing the rain of the Holy Spirit falling on their lives. It's important to dream. It's important to allow God to work and speak to you. I think a lot of times in our culture, imagination, or in church world, imagination kind of is like a thing that's looked down on because it's not really, it's just thinking your own things. But I believe God puts those things in your heart. When you run up against problems or difficulties in your life, you need to get a picture in your mind of God fixing the problem. If you're sick, start thinking about what it will look like when you're healed. If you're struggling and you need a job, start thinking about what it will look like when you're packing your lunch in the morning and you're getting in your car and you're driving off to your new job. This is not just talking about visualization, but it's getting a picture of God's hope and God's dreams for your future. It's allowing God to speak to your heart. Faith is seeing something that is not as though it already is. We read that in that verse we started with, right? That Abraham did not falter. He did not stagger, but he believed that what God said would come to pass. A faith-filled prayer reaches out and grabs hold of what you're believing for. Sees it already happening. Sees it already done. Imagines it coming to pass. And by the power of that faith, God says that you'll have what you ask for. Imagine God doing something good. Number four is T, trusting God. Trust God in everything. Trust the Lord with all your heart. It says in Proverbs 3, verse 5, do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll make your paths smooth. There are going to be times when you don't understand. I don't know. Have you ever sat and said, I don't get it? I don't know why I'm going. I don't know why. I don't understand it. But we need in those times to put our trust in God. We need to rely on what God is saying. Either saying in your heart at the time, or if God's not speaking anything in your heart, what He's saying in your Word. Because this is forever. These promises are true. The Bible says all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. We talked about this last year. We talked about miracles that Jesus said to the lame man, blind man, Mark chapter 5. He had some big problem. And he said, Jesus, will you heal me? Will you heal me? And he said, of course I will. Of course I will. Why wouldn't I heal you? Well, when he said that to him, he said it to us. There's no respecter of persons. When he said, of course I'll heal you, right? The prerequisite, right, is we have to have faith in God. We have to trust Him. We have to trust in His Word. No matter what it looks like, put your trust in God. If you're in bad financial shape, trust God. If you're sick, trust God. If you're scared, trust God, right? No matter what you're going through, trust God. It's easy, right? No, it's simple. It's not easy. It's challenging, right? When we're going through stuff and our body is in pain, or we're having a hard time making our bills at the end of the month, or we are worried about someone in our family, or if our relationship with our spouse is not going good, we have to trust God, do what we can do. And it's not easy, but it's simple. Trust God. Keep your focus. Keep trusting in Him. He's where your help comes from. My dad's old office in the old building had a sign, a sticker my dad put on his office door. It said, "Jesus, He's the answer." And that's the truth. I remember going with Bob to do my first, hospital. It wasn't a hospital visit. It was someone's at someone's house. It was with Chrissy Moody. And the man had a brain tumor. And so Bob's talking to me on the way up the sidewalk. And he says, "We remember this. When we walk in this door, Jesus is the answer. There's nothing that we have that's the answer. It's Jesus." And we have to remember that for our own self. Jesus is the answer. Right? Yeah. Trust in Him. He's got it. He has got it. He's covered it. Trust in Him. Walking by faith is demonstrated when we walk through the trials that come into our life and stay strong. When we trust in God. No matter what we're going through, we need to trust God in everything. Here's a great example in Scripture. It's found in Habakkuk chapter 3, starting at verse 17. It says, "Though the cherry trees don't blossom, and strawberries don't ripen, though the apples are worm-eaten and the wheat fields stunted, though the sheep pens are sheepless and the cattle barns empty, I'm singing joyful praise to God. I'm turning cartwheels of joy to my Savior God, counting on God's rule to prevail. I take heart and gain strength. I run like a deer. I feel like I'm a king of the mountain." I love this part of the verse. Counting on God's rule to prevail. Trusting in God's rule to prevail. I take heart and I gain strength. If you need some strength at this time in your life, if you're going through stuff and you just need some strength, take heart. God's rule will prevail. God's rule will prevail. His word is true. Number five is hope. Hope for the best. Hope is what ushers us toward a life of faith. I love hope. The Bible said faith is the substance of things hoped for, right? The evidence of things not yet seen in Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says that, but we have to have hope. We have to have hope that there's a better day coming, that God could do something good, that God will do something good. We have to have hope. This is one of my favorite C.S. Lewis quotes. It says, "Hope is not dreaming. It's not spinning an illusion or fantasy to protect ourselves from our boredom or our pain. It is imagination put into the harness of faith." Imagine God doing something good. Have faith that He can carry it out. Have hope that He can do it. Hope is the expectation of good. One saying that's always stuck to me and stuck with me is, you don't always get what you want out of life, but you get what you expect. Right? So if you say, I love when we go to Valiant, this is always fun, with the men, because I always win. I never don't win. I win every, this time I actually won the first draw. I won it. The first one. And I always get to win. So it's cool. But there's a lot of guys that walk around there and they say, "Well, I never win." They have no hope to win. They never have hope to win. And I'm like, well, have hope. Hope at least, right? Don't give up yet. You could maybe win. Right? Have hope. You can have hope. Right? It might seem like everything's going wrong, but hope in God. Put your hope there. Something good is coming. I really believe that. I just believe so much in the goodness and the love and the mercy of God. I believe in that so much. I believe that God really does have something good for you. And I've seen many of you struggle through some really long times. But I know that if you hang in there and if you trust Him and you have hope in God, God's going to pull it out. God's going to do great things. And I've seen a lot of you, even in the middle of it, trusting God and having hope in God and seeing joy in your hearts. It's hope that transcends our circumstances. That's why Habakkuk was able to say, "The sheep pens are empty and cattle barns empty, but I feel like I'm king of the hill." Didn't look good. Look bad. If you're a farmer, Jim back there somewhere, yeah, farming. If everything's empty and you got nothing, not good, right? I think everybody knows that. Not good. Bad sign. But if we believe God, God's got it. God's got it. I think about the children of Israel when they crossed the desert, right? every day, manna fell from the sky to feed 2 million people. Then they were complaining about the manna. Oh, God, what do we got to eat bread all day for? Why don't you give us some meat? And I heard a guy talking about the quail. And he said when the quail came, it was like 3 feet deep on the ground. That's how much quail came. So there's your meat. Eat. Have fun. Right? But like truthfully, God miraculously provided. I think of the story. We were reading this at Young Adults the other night in 2 Kings or 1 Kings 4. It was talking about the widow who was in debt. And she said to Samuel, I got nothing to pay my debt. Samuel. Boy, oh boy, my memory's not too good this morning. It was one of the prophets. I'm pretty sure it was Elijah. Elijah. Anyway, so he says to her, what do you got in the house? What do you got? He said, I got some oil. Okay, well, take the oil, go around, borrow pots from every neighbor. Not a few. And lock yourself in the room with your boys and start filling those oil pots. And out of nothing, God provided not only enough to pay their debt, but then he said, live on the rest. So there was an abundance. Even when it looks like there's nothing, there's abundance. God has abundance for you. Hope in him. It's all about faith. It's all about faith will get you through life and help you to walk in your destiny. When faith comes, worry has to leave. When faith comes, doubt has to leave. When faith comes, fear, untrue assumptions, all those things have to leave. Because God has really got it. He's got it. We have to say every day and know this every day, I'm the guard and the protector of my own mind. There's absolutely no way that I can live life for God without faith. Have to have faith. Build your faith. It's your responsibility. It's nothing that I could do for you. It's something I got to work on for me every day. Something that you got to work on for you every day. Faith makes a difference. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today, Lord, and we just thank you that you are God. Lord, that we can trust in you, that your word is true, that your word is forever established in the heaven, Lord, that you said that your name's above all name, your power is above all power, but Lord, that you've even exalted your word, Lord, above your name. Lord, this is the most valuable thing that we could own. This is the most treasured, Lord, thing that we could have. But Lord, so many times we take this, Lord, for just being just another book or something else in our house among our stuff. But God, help us to value your word, Lord, as David said in Psalm 119, that we'd hide this word in our heart so that we would not sin against you, Lord, that we wouldn't look to other things to provide for us, that we wouldn't, Lord, look, Lord, for other things, but, Lord, that we would look to you, Lord, who is the beginner, the author, and the finisher of our faith. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that this week as we open your word, that you'll just speak to us, Lord, through it, that you'll help us to grow. I ask this in the name of Jesus and for his glory. Amen.